The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Let's begin this teaching today by going to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to jump right into this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, and I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Ephesians 6, 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When Paul was writing about putting on the whole armor of God here in Ephesians chapter 6, because if you look, that is what he's addressing here, he was repeating the concepts that are found over in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. You can hold your place here and go with me to Luke 21:36, or you can just stay where you are. But the A part of that verse, Luke 21, verse 36, it says, "Watch you therefore and pray always." Now going back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Verse 18, and we'll read the A part. "Praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit." And so we see these two things are tied together and we can understand it. So I want to read verse 16 again. "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." I like the New King James better here because it says wicked one, where in the King James it simply says of the wicked. And it is the wicked one. Paul is referring to the wicked one. He is referring to Satan's temptations. And he is making comparison of them to fiery or flaming darts. Because this word fiery, fiery could also be flaming darts. In other words, they're on fire. That's what it's talking about. That's what it's the picture that we're to get. In other words, he is addressing those angry ideas of evil. And he is addressing the excitement to sin that Satan can throw into the mind like fiery darts or fiery flaming arrows. And that's the concept, that's the picture that we're seeing here in Ephesians chapter 6. So this is what he's telling us. He's saying these thoughts are offensive. He's telling us that these thoughts are filled with disbelief. And they are filled with sudden temptations to do wrong. Or he's talking about thoughts that wound and torment the recipient way down deep into the person on the receiving end of these fiery darts. Here are some points that I'd like for us to notice at this point. This is talking about these fiery flaming darts or flaming arrows. They come suddenly, like arrows that are being shot from a bow. They come from unexpected locations, like arrows that are shot suddenly from a trap or from an ambush. They pierce and they penetrate and they torment the person on the receiving end of them, like arrows that have been shot on fire and they're received. They set the recipient on fire and they ignite the worst type of passions, like fiery darts. What if it hit into a ship that the fiery darts are being sent to, or into an encampment of a bunch of people, like that it would cause it to go in blaze? So with this in mind, I have a question. What happens when these fiery darts hit their target? I want to show you the answer. The answer is right in Scripture. Let's go to James 1. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. James 1, verse 13 through 15. I'm going to read this from the Contemporary English Version. Not that it's better, it's just more picturesque to paint the picture that I'm trying to get here. James 1, verse 13. Don't blame God when you are tempted. God cannot be tempted by evil, and He does not use evil to tempt others. We are tempted by our own desires that drag us off and trap us. Our desires make us sin, and when sin is finished with us, it leaves us dead. So let me ask another question. What does it look like where they strike? Well, first of all, these fiery darts strike and they infiltrate. They ignite a fire inside the recipient that keeps burning and tearing him or her up inside. In one way, fiery darts could be summarized by using three terms, three words. Our thoughts, I know that's more than two words, but you'll get the three words. Our thoughts, our emotions, and our flesh. So it's thoughts, emotions, and flesh. Usually they come in a mixture, they are mingled together. I'm meaning these three words, thoughts, emotions, and flesh. And they have an effect upon each other. In other words, what I'm saying is a thought stirs our emotions, causing our flesh or our mouth to sin. This thought is shot into our mind. We receive it. It's on fire. It's as if we got to do something with it. And we do. And we do. Let me give you what I consider, I debated over this quite a while, but what I consider to be some typical reactions. I'm talking about reactions to the individual recipient might experience. There may be big knots in the stomach. I would have to say those knots are flaming, fiery darts. There could be this sense of getting uptight, or emotions can get so stirred up that sometimes it feels like there is a raging fire inside. It might seem as if the only way that we can put out that horrible raging fire is to go ahead and do what it is that is wanting us to do. In other words, to fulfill the very thoughts that are prompting the fire to keep burning and tearing us up inside. Maybe this is just me, or maybe it's all of us. And I would think so. I have some other questions that I would like for us to consider. You can already tell if this is going to be one of those teachings where we're going to have a lot of questions, hopefully some answers, because I think it's the better way to approach this particular, I think it's a good way for me, let me put it that way, for me to approach this topic. What can prompt a person to run from God's word and not believe the truth? I'm not referring to someone necessarily who is part of what we would call the world or someone who is not part of the church. I'm talking about us, believers. Or what can cause a person to put unnecessary things in place of God? You already think, I think you can already see from just these two questions to think about. This is not even a question we would address to someone who is not part of a belief system, not who's somebody who's caught up in the ways of the world. What can drive a person to lie, to steal, or to commit murder? And again, I'm addressing within the church. Do I know any of these things that have happened within the church? Oh, absolutely. Lie, stealing, murder, yes, in the church. What can stir a person to commit fornication or adultery or any other such sin? The answer is fiery darts. I mean, let's step back and think about it. You know, somebody who has come to the place of being called, they believe, they've accepted the believing, they've accepted Jesus Christ, they've been baptized, and they've had hands laid upon, and they have received the Holy Spirit. Why would any of us consider doing any of these things? Yet, again, I'm not referring to those who are not part of the church. I'm referring to us within the church of God, believers. The answer, of course, is fiery darts. In other words, these are those wrong thoughts which prompt our emotions and our flesh, and we go ahead and do it. In this teaching, our primary focus will be on the fiery darts, even though we will see other points that are found here in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. But the primary focus is going to be on these fiery darts. So here's a, I believe, a really good time to ask some more questions. With all these fiery darts flying around, where is the best place for us to deal with those fiery darts? I mean, is the best place for us to deal with these darts, is that the place where it hits the target? Or is it at the front end of the shield? And of course we know the answer is at the front end of the shield. And so here we need to ask another question. What is the shield? I mean, that's what this verse we're dealing with. It says, but the shield of faith, whatever it says in the verse, goes on. So what is this shield? Well, the first thing I think that we need to understand is that there are some things that are not the shield. You can list it in a lot of different ways. I'm going to focus on two in this list at this point. The first one is, we are not the shield. And the second point is, our faith is not the shield. So we ask again, what is the shield? And the answer is, God is the shield. I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel. Put a marker there in Ephesians 6 because we're going to read that verse several times. Hopefully by the end of the teaching today, we might all have it committed to memory, but 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all of them that trust in Him. God is the shield. It's to those who trust in Him. I want you to go to Psalm 18 in verse 30. 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or shield to all those that trust in Him. Huh, we just read that. So I think it's a pretty good point for us to grasp, for us to understand. God is the shield for those who trust in Him. Let's stay here in the book of Psalm, Psalm 33 and verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Proverbs 2 and verse 7. Proverbs 2 and verse 7. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler or a shield to them that walk uprightly. So we see it's those who trust in Him, and then it's also those who walk uprightly. In other words, they trust God and then they walk in God's ways. So we see faith is compared with the shield. Ephesians 6, 16, the first part of the verse, above all, taking the shield of faith. And so we see that they are compared together. It is using faith. It is using the same faith that Jesus had and Jesus used when He walked on the earth. In fact, that's the same faith that we have. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So this is not talking to the world. This is talking to us. This is talking to baptized, believing members of the body of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I know in the New King James it says, I live by the faith in, the Son of God. We do. But the better word, the correct word here would be by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith. Jesus Christ living in us, it is His faith that is in us. We trust Him, we walk uprightly, we walk in His ways, and Jesus Christ is living in us. And so we're talking about this field of this shield of faith. And the answer is, what is the shield? And it's God, and i.e. in our particular situation, we'd be referring to is Jesus Christ who lives in us, and we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And brethren, we would also do well to know that if we let Him, God will protect, He will shield us in all of our battles. So let's ask, how do we obtain this shield of faith? How do we get it? Well, go with me now to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 41. I'm going to read just the A part of this verse. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need this shield of faith. And the shield of faith is trusting, walking in God's way, using the very faith of Jesus Christ which is in us. Jesus repeats the same instruction over in Luke 21, verse 36. We saw this earlier. I told you this is what Paul is referring to. And I want to show you here in the context that this is. Because Jesus shows that the same process will build the shield of faith to protect us from the fiery darts of temptations. No, He doesn't use the terms, but that's what is being implied because this is exactly the place where Paul picks this up. Let's go to Luke 21, verse 36. 21:36. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. All those things which come to pass. That would include all the fiery darts that are shot at us. So we're to be able to stand against these things. And this is what Paul picks up, and this is the point that he is using. Because over in Ephesians, he is quoting from this verse when he says, watch and pray with all supplications in the Spirit. Do you remember that back in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, that this shield of faith can quench or put out or extinguish all the fiery darts, implying not just some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Imagine with me for a moment in your mind's eye. Imagine for a moment the incredible, awesome peace that we would have if none of Satan's fiery darts ever reached their intended target. What kind of peace would we have? I want us to see some additional things about these fiery darts. We need to know that they are from Satan, the wicked one, being wickedness himself. And his temptations are fiery darts. That's the analogy that Paul is using back over here in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Is what he is showing us. They can be compared to darts because they sometimes come suddenly and swiftly. Sometimes they come fast and thick. And sometimes they're very numerous. Where they stick, they are very troublesome and grieving. They can be called fiery because they can arouse the mind, exciting the mind to sin, to commit such sins as lust or anger or revenge or any of these other type of things. Now, under every one of these sins, we could list out others, but these are the biggies. I think these are major categories of sin that we, as part of the body of Jesus Christ, find ourselves doing. So I think this is a real good place for us to ask, how are we to extinguish or to put out the fiery darts the devil tries to shoot in our direction? I think the very first thing, going back to Ephesians 6 and verse 16, that we need to realize is that from this verse, we see that we are promised that if we have our shield of faith lifted high in front of us, as it is to be done, we will be supernaturally empowered. Because it's not of us. And I use the word supernatural because I'm talking about it's of God. It's not of us, it's of God. God is involved in this. And He will therefore empower us to defend ourselves against the fiery darts of the enemy. And of course, it's not really us that's doing it, but God is really the one that's doing it. But we have our part. We have to hold it up. If we don't hold a shield up, if we're not trusting, if we're not walking righteously, if we're not doing the things of God, we're not holding the shield of faith up, even though it's there. So we have our part, but the real protection and the real deliverance comes from God. So I think another question, and I would even word it as the real question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we believe this is true? That we can be delivered from all of them? Now, as we consider our answer to this question, we need to realize that it is even more than that. We will be able to literally extinguish every single fiery dart the devil will ever try to send our way. Therefore, this makes our shield of faith extremely, extremely important. So I want us to look at Ephesians 6 and verse 16 to see exactly what it says about us being able to distinguish or extinguish, to put out all the fiery darts of the enemy. Because that is what I'm saying that it is telling us. We are going to have the arrow shot at us, but we can put them out. And again, it's really not us. We have our part. The real one who puts them out, of course, is God. But we can't just stand back and say, okay, God, take care of it. Here come these fiery darts. Take care of them for us. No. We have to be doing our part. So we have a part, but God has the bigger part. So I'd like for us to notice some phrases from this verse 16. The first phrase I want us to notice is, you shall be able. For this phrase, these words, you shall be able, the Greek word here is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S, which means explosive power or dynamic power, which is where we get our English word dynamite. Now, if you just look at this word, there's no way you could come, you just look at it in English, there's no way you would come to this. You got to look up the different phrases. You got to look it up in the Greek and see what it's really telling us. You will be able. Okay, yeah, fine, I'll be able to do this. No, he's saying you will be able to do it because you're going to have this dynamite, which is our word that we would use. When these Greek words and Greek phrases are used together as they are here in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, it could actually be translated, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be dynamically empowered. And there's no translation version that I have found that words it that way. But it could be. My point in saying it that way is because I don't think the translators got this. Paul uses these Greek words to explain what I'm calling the supernatural empowerment that occurs when a believer uses his shield of faith in the way God intended it to be used. So as believers, when we lift our shield high and hold it out in front of us as we're supposed to do, this shield energizes us to stand bravely against every assault of the devil. Because who is the shield? It's God. And more specifically, in our context here, it would be Jesus Christ. Can Jesus Christ stand against all the things of the devil? Of course he can. Of course he can. The shield of faith becomes dynamically and supernaturally empowered to act as a wall that cannot be defeated, that cannot be knocked down, or cannot be crossed over, or it cannot be run around. It would be none of those, an impenetrable wall of defense against the enemy's attacks. In other words, the faith of Jesus Christ is a shield to the believer. What is Jesus capable of doing? All of it. All of it. The shield of faith is so powerful that it makes us fortified, untouchable, and armed to the teeth. It equips us to be able to hold our position firmly. No one is going to take it away from us, using it as a military terminology here. It would be like having a spiritual tank, a supernatural tank, that no one is going to be able to move our position. But we would be able to move our position forward without taking any losses ourselves. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Some of you will have this committed to memory. You may not know it right off, but as soon as we start it, you will know. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, do we believe this verse means what it says? Then what I said before I read this verse has to be true. Because the real defense here is Jesus Christ. He is the shield of faith. Please understand, this does not mean that the devil will stop trying to come against us, but we have to understand what the shield of faith is used and held out in front of us. We become empowered by God to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The word quench here is the Greek word, and I'll spell the word because I can't even pronounce it, even begin to. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. It's not important. We don't speak Greek. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I, which means to quench by dousing or to extinguish by drowning in water. To quench, we'll be able, with having the shield of faith held up in the way it's supposed to be, in other words, having Jesus Christ in front of us, because we're believing Him, we're trusting Him, we're walking in His ways, we're doing all of these things, we will be able, therefore, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what we're seeing. That's what we understand. And so, it's referring to the water-soaked shield of the Roman soldiers before they went into battle. Because it's an interesting thing whenever you look at it, because you see, before the Roman soldiers went out to battle, they soaked their shields in water until they were completely water saturated. Paul understood this. It's just a concept, just a bunch of words that we read and it goes right over our head until we actually dig in and look and see what is actually being said here. Why is Paul using these particular words? They knew, Roman soldiers, they knew that when they went into battle, and they went into battle a lot, they knew that the enemy would be shooting burning, flaming arrows in their direction. If their shield was dry, it could possibly be set on fire when it was struck. Yet, it was an important piece of equipment for them, and so they water-soaked their shield, and the flames would be quenched, would be put out or extinguished if an arrow even penetrated into this heavily set water saturated surface. Even if it went into the piece of thick wood that they're using here as their shield. Even if it went into it because it was so water soaked, it would go out. And this is the picture that Paul is using, and this is a real good point for us to understand. And so we need to ask the question here, how does this apply to us as believers? Romans 10:17. So then faith, the shield of faith, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And so we see from this that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now go to Ephesians 5 and verse 26. Ephesians 5:26. I'm putting some things together to make a point. Ephesians 5:26. That He might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And so we see that God's Word is likened to water. Therefore, as we regularly submit ourselves to God's Word, what are we doing? We are soaking our faith with the Word, just as a Roman soldier soaked his shield with water. And when our faith becomes word-soaked, it becomes just like the Romans' water-soaked or saturated shield. In other words, it will be so heavily flooded with the water of God's Word that even if a fiery dart pierces our shield, the huge amount of the Word of God that is in us will extinguish the flames, and it will put out a potentially damaging situation. The word fiery in the Greek is P-U-R-O-O. And this word means to kindle or to be ignited or glow or to be inflamed. And to be inflamed, it means, this Greek word means, with anger or grief or lust. The word dart is the Greek word belos, B-E-L-O-S, and it means a missile, a spear, or arrow dart. So a fiery dart is fire to try and inflame us with anger, grief, and lust. Which is why I said earlier, those terms could be the category for all of this. This Greek word belos, for dart, was used to depict a particular type of dart or arrow. It was a long, slender arrow that outwardly looked harmless. But because of the hollow interior of the arrow that was filled with flammable fluids, that when it was hit on impact, it would explode into a raging fire. All of this is synonymous with us and how it all fits with us. Roman forces used these flaming darts to destroy their enemies, but they were much more subtle and appearing and more deadly. They did not look threatening to just look at the arrow. These fiery darts were made from a hollow reed, something like bamboo. One end was stopped up. Then the reed was filled with a flammable mixture, something probably what we would call alcohol and naphtha, which is in lighting fluid. So they would combine these flaming liquids together. And then they would put in this loosely fitting stopper holding a wick to hold the wick in place, and it would be slipped into place on the other end of the tube, and then the wick would be lit. It would be shot like an arrow, but not into a bunch of straw or some other flammable substance, but it would be shot at the other soldier himself. Since the dart had its own fuel source and the wick was protected by the tube, the dart kept burning until it hit something. When it hit a soldier, the wick popped out, the liquid spilled over the soldier's armor and ignited, and you can get the picture. It would literally cook the soldier inside his armor. When you think about it, how absolutely appropriate for Paul to use this imagery concerning the enemy's attack on God's people. These darts of the Roman soldier were unspectacular. In fact, if they were fired during the daytime hours, they could hardly be seen coming at them. And so the enemy did not think anything really about them because they were not these fierce type arrows also that the Romans would use. But when they struck, the effects were absolutely devastating. When you really think about it, this is a picture of Satan's tactics against God's people that we see in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. He sent something our way, a thought, a doubt, an unholy idea, an event, a casual comment by a friend that seems very innocent at first. And so sometimes we don't pay much attention. Yet, when it strikes, it spreads its destruction throughout, engulfing us in his fiery flames. It's very, very picturesque when you understand the context of what Paul is describing to us. And we're, you know, almost 2,000 years removed from this, and so we don't really see it in this context, but it is absolutely there. Because you see, brethren, quite often when the devil strikes, his attack might look insignificant at first. Maybe even harmless, like little arrows that can do very little damage. Yet when these arrows do strike into the heart or to the emotions of the person, they often explode and they rev up our human nature, our human passions on fire, causing a minor issue to develop into a fierce, flaming situation. And so it's something that could have been very minor and held and dealt with at the very early of it. The damage can actually become very, very serious. And here's the point. It could have been avoided altogether if we would have had the shield of faith held into position high and regularly drenched in the water of the Word of God. First Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Some translation says the fiery ordeal, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, there is absolutely no doubt that Satan is going to continue to shoot his arrows in our direction. So don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. I didn't put it in here, but you know, Jesus made the statement to the church. He says, guys, you got to understand, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And did they hate Jesus? They hated him so much they put him to death for doing the right things. Now, I understand there's a purpose and there's a plan and we understand all of that, but he's telling us, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so in other words, don't think it's strange when all these fiery darts are fired at us from all directions. Don't think it's anything strange thing that is happening to you. But brethren, having the shield of faith that is soaked in the Word of God gives us great protection against these attacks. In fact, it guarantees us that the enemy's fiery darts will have little to no effect, even if they get close enough to strike our mind, our heart, our emotions in the midst of situations that we may even find ourselves in today. Because that's what the verse says, that you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Not some, not most, not many, all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, brethren, I urge each one of us to take the time to soak our faith in the Word of God. Now, what do I mean? Daily prayer. Daily Bible study. Soaking ourselves in it. Because what we need to understand is our enemy can attack us at any time. And so the good soldier is going to have the shield water-soaked at all times whenever they're ready to go to battle. The Roman soldier was not in battle all the time, but they knew they were going to battle. We don't always know when our battle is going to come. So like that soldier, he soaked it, he soaked it, he soaked it. We are to go into battle at any time. We need to soak it and soak it and soak it. That is the point. We need to let the water of the Word to so saturate our faith that if the enemy does try to launch a surprise attack on us, or our health, or our finances, or our family, or our marriage, or the congregation, or any of these things, the enemy will find that his fiery darts have no impact on our word-soaked shield of faith. We have to refuse to let ourselves become the devil's victims. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. We need to hold our word-soaked shield of faith high in front of us so it completely covers our lives in every area. Then we need to rest assured that no fiery dart of the enemy will make any serious impact upon us. That shield of faith will protect us from anything the enemy throws at us through this dynamic, explosive power of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you with the shield of faith and the faith and the arms to hold it up in the position where God intends it to be held, which is belief and trust and walking uprightly in the way of God. So God bless you all and happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.